Savior comes in and I would judge him, first of all, he looks round about upon all things. And I think we should remember that, whether it's our homes or the assembly, he'll come in and he'll look round about upon all things. He'll go away and the next day he'll come back and he'll do something about it. And I think we all should remember that, beloved. If we allow things in the assembly that shouldn't be there, he certainly will do something about it. Better if we can do and make sure that there's nothing in the house that will offend him. I'll not elaborate on that. You'll all know what's there that shouldn't be there. If you've not got a scriptural basis for it, it shouldn't be there. And keep the house clean. Now he comes and he finds with deep sadness as he looks round about. He had put them out in John 2 and they're back again. Now when things are put out the assembly, we should make it a burning desire before God that they'll never come in again. And I think we should be careful what is brought into the house. Now that's just using an application here, but I think it's needed in our day. The house should be kept clean. But here he comes and he begins to cast out. I think the setting is that it's a Passover time, and we all understand that the coinage that many of them brought would not be acceptable as they paid over their half shekel for the sanctuary or whatever it may be, and it was not acceptable. So these men were trading and they were making merchandise of the Lord's house. Now I've got strong feelings about that as well. I think the assembly is for spiritual things and it should never be made a house of merchandise. I don't like books for sale at the back of the hall. Now I just state my mind on these things. I think we should lift our thoughts higher, beloved. I'm glad the books aren't here. I'm not saying anything about the books that are for sale across the road. But I think it's the house of the Lord that the Lord is concerned about here. It should be kept clean and it should be a special exercise.
In John chapter 2, when he returns the house on the first occasion, it's the time of the Passover. And it's the time of the Passover again.
Mm-hmm.
And would you have the thought, Robert, of putting the leaven out of the house?
I think that is absolutely right. It's a lovely application that we all know that there had to be no leaven in their homes at the Passover time. I think the Lord had a lot in mind when he spoke of the leaven of the Pharisees. There was leaven in that people. And of course we know leaven is evil and always evil. And it must be removed, beloved. We'll never know the blessing of God. I'm glad there's coming a day when there will be a temple there. Not the one they're going to build just now. They've got the stones ready. They've got everything ready. There's going to be a man sits in there. And it's a shame to think of it, isn't it? But there's coming a day when he'll sit in the temple.
There was obviously no leaven of the situation from John.
That is right.
Mm-hmm. You might notice too that in John 2 it's merchandise, for he who thieves. That is, they're not even honest in their dealings in the very place we would expect honesty.
Can we also read what we've been saying with this? He has no time for stress. And that suggests that although they didn't mind the bustle and the noise and the goings on in the temple, yet they did mind the places of the temple. The condition of the house is a reflection of their attitude of Christ.
Yes, in contrast with the widow, or the widow given out. That's right.
Looking back here to Jeremiah 7:11, is this house which is called by my name to come again of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But he's a quoted from that here.
There seems to be, this is one of the instances where two scriptures are quoted. The first part of that is from Isaiah 56, my house is a house of prayer. And the Lord seemed to link these two passages together to bring the meaning before them. The prayer that is ascending towards God, giving to God. as Mr. McShane has been mentioning, the opposite is they were taken from God. And it's almost the close of our Old Testament. Can a man rob God? A man can rob God. We ought to understand that. We can rob God of many things, and it's not always material. God expects that in that place, what is given should be for His glory and for the blessing of the people around.
Robert, you said at the beginning we receive Christ before us.
Mm-hmm.
Would these two cleansings also indicate that the principles that govern the Lord Jesus at the beginning of His ministry govern them to the very end?
That is vital and important. I think we're all found out there, Sandy. We're all found out there. I always loved to hear an old man preaching what he preached when he was a young man.
That's you might have heard him when he was young.
Well, that is maybe the case, but I know that I've listened to men. I'm not very old. I'm not a young man now either, mind you, but I've heard men that have changed their ministry over the years, and it's very sad. It's very sad. The Lord was faithful in all His ways. I think the emphasis would be in the light of what he has found, you know, the heartbreak of the Saviour. He could have left them. And in fact, that's why I mentioned in the other Gospel, he said, "Your house is left unto you desolate." But he knew in his omniscience that things wouldn't change, and he's casting his mind forward because of what he said, there's not going to be one stone left upon another. I knew that was the end as far as the temple was concerned. I've always been amazed even that the Lord went into the temple. I really don't think the temple was in the mind of God at all. We only read really that the Lord blessed David in his exercise, but the Lord's desire was towards the tabernacle, and that which moved on to the wilderness. But the Lord in His grace, He blessed the temple, and He acknowledged the temple, and He acknowledged it in Solomon's days, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. It was the grace of God towards His people. But I think the original thing was the tabernacle.
You made mention of the stones of the temple and the material. Would you please give some amplification on that? Where is that stored, and how far back does it date since it was stored?
Sorry, I didn't catch the first bit, but I was listening to Mr. McShane.
Was he whispering?
He was disagreeing with me.
Wasn't he? That's about the statement you made about the stones and the material for the building of the temple in the future. I would like you to enlarge upon that. Where is it stored, and how long has it been stored?
I don't know exactly where they are. Cyril Hawking has been and seen the stones. Maybe Brother Jack Stratton, who's with us, he is friendly with Cyril Hawking. But Cyril says he has actually seen the stones now. That was 4 years ago, I know, that he had seen them. And within a stone's throw of the temple site today, there's a place called the Treasures of the Temple Institute. The labour is made, the silver trumpets are made, the priest's garments are made, all the materials for the incense are there. They have the things for casting lots on the Day of Atonement. They now have their own red heifer, pure red heifer, implanted frozen embryos in their cattle from Sweden. They have their pure red heifer. And I think we see that in a very literal way. We don't need these things. Can I say that? We don't need these things to convince us. But we are seeing before our eyes in this our day an evidence that soon that temple will be built. These are very interesting things, I think, in our day.
How long may it take them to build it?
Well, I don't know how long they'll take. They've got a problem. They've got two mosques that are in the way. But I don't know how long. And now, I don't want to get bogged down with these things, but I think we identify a 7-year period of tribulation and so on. There could be gaps at the end of that before the millennial kingdom. I don't want to get involved in these things. But it is possible that the temple could be built at any time. There's nothing to stop the temple being built now. We could see the temple built in our day before we go to be with Christ. And it is very evident that all these things, they are convinced in their mind now. We spoke to them, and the young girl that was there says, "Now we will have our temple." And she says, "I don't know how and I don't know when," she says, "but we will have it." And you could speak to these men. I think we should remember, I'm maybe digressing a bit, but we must remember that the nation today are fiercely patriotic but not religious. There's a very, very small minority in Israel today who are religious. They're fiercely patriotic, they would die for their country tomorrow. But she said that day, she says to us, "Now why are you interested?" We said, "Well, we are interested in these things because we study our Bible," but she says, "My people are not interested." So that small little group of them are pushing on to build this temple. And if they had their way, it would be there tomorrow.
Build it overnight?
I don't think they'll build it overnight. I think the Arabs would try to stop that, but I don't know how they'll do it, but they certainly will do it. They have actually said to the Arabs, "Now, tell us where you want that thing. We'll take it down. We'll put it up somewhere else." They are convinced it's going to be there. And of course, we know it will be there. And we don't know, well, we just don't know. I think it's great to know that soon the Savior will come. And the plan that God has wrought out in eternity will follow on, and his calendar will be exact. And we've seen things of that today.
Well, you would see the temple built at the beginning of the 7 years of necessity.
I would think it would be.
And will that need a little interim period to build, or not?
It may well do. As I say, I just don't know how soon they'll build it. In the days when they built it, in Solomon's day, there was no sound heard. You'll remember that all the stones were made away from the site so that there was no sound of the trowel as they laid the stones. Now, they've got modern things, they'll use modern things to put it up.
Now, why I'm asking that is that some are very dogmatic, that there's not a day more than 7 years. I see a difficulty with that. That's why I asked the question.
And I think I see a difficulty at the end as well. But I think we could get too bogged down with that. But I would agree with you, brother. I think there could well be an overlap of times. God in the dispensations, he can't always cut them off and start another one just like that. It was overlap. We can see that clearly.
So that the 7 years is included in the period, the end of the age, as we have it in Matthew chapter 13, which is not a point of time but a period of time called the season, a harvest.
I believe it will. That's what I had in mind, Brother Sam. I think for all our young folks, could I ask you today to get firm grounded in the truth of the assembly and never move from it. It's far too easy for just to drift away and to get caught up. Folks say, "Well, these things are not really working today." They do work today. The old pattern of gathering, I'm happy to be where my brethren were many hundreds of years ago. Happy to be there for the Lord comes.
If each recovery, whether it be Reformation, Western, or otherwise, is dispensed with all the entertainment and the musical accompaniment, by those who were thinking of the words and the God's sense of his working, we need to look around the times.
Mm-hmm. think all these are very, very apt, and we should really take them to heart, that these things, above all else, remember. Remember, you might grieve your brethren, but there's a bigger thing than that. These things grieve the Lord in His day, and there's no difference today. Get your minds higher and lift your thoughts higher. It's the honour of God and the glory of His name that we really want. Now then, could we move down to His teaching? Time is fast going by. I think we'll have to deal with this one quickly. It'd be a shame if we didn't get to the end of this section here now. He's moving in and he's coming in and he's teaching the people. It's lovely to notice that Mark just says he's walking, as a servant would do, he's walking, but here he's very clearly, he taught the people in the temple and he preached the gospel. Now there's the two things here, I think very clearly there are two things. He's teaching the people, but he's signing it out as a herald. That is the privilege of many of us, just to sound out as a herald the glorious words of salvation. Now, I don't want to get too bogged down in either of what he's actually preaching. I don't think that's the application here so much. I think the fact is that he's continuing, in spite of opposition, to preach and teach the people. And I think we should always remember that that has been the lot of the Lord's people. I was quite touched to hear, as a Brother Terry was telling us about the law they're trying to pass. It may be that that dear brother's service will be very difficult in days to come. And that's when the mettle of a man is proved. We can say things up here, but it's a different thing when you're just standing alone and trying to preach. But the Lord feared no man's face. And he never courted any man's flattery either. And he stood up again. And he began to teach. And he began to preach. Now in the light of that, there was a question brought. Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things, or who gave thee this authority? If we understood a little bit about their culture, the rabbinical schools were very, very important to them. Like the great apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said, he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was really telling them that he had every authority as a man in the nation to preach. But of course he was under a different authority by that time. But they were interested, you see, in what school you went to and who you really had the authority from to teach. And I think there's lessons there for us as well. Trying to make reference that I think they had got together and they were very, very careful. They knew now to try and sway this people, as has already been mentioned, and to try and keep favour with the people and yet try to bring them down before them. I think they must have sat down and they had chosen a question to ask them so that they could trip them up. Yeah, and I think too that the mention here, the things that have been questioned, I think that things immediately that had happened, the people speaking and him rebuking them, and then particularly the cleansing of the temple that upset them. And I think that was what really made them come. They would have to try and redress this.
And doubtless those who were thieves and put out of the temple or cleansed out of the temple would complain to the priests about the way they've been treated, because they were offering a service for those who came a distance to have their money changed and so on. So so that they were trying to get their authority back again to carry on with their business in the temple. And of course it's the scribes and the priests here that enter that try to oppose Christ. Not the Pharisees so much, but the priests, because they had the authority in the temple.
Would it be the thought in the question, is it authority from men or authority from God?
I think the contrast is there, Philip. They're asking, was it from heaven or of men? I just thought of two things, spiritual or karma. And of course, that caught them out. Sometimes I think that's a good thing to do in a Bible reading, just ask another question.
We have noticed, Robert, the link between the Lord at the beginning of his ministry and at the end, the cleansing of the temple. I thought there was another link here. You remember at the beginning of his ministry, he is tempted in a threefold way by Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have here in this chapter a threefold questioning now at the end. There's a question about John, and then there's a question about Caesar, and then there's a question about the law of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's delightful to notice that the one that silenced Satan at the beginning will silence these men in all their questioning at the end.
Mm-hmm. That is very nice, Malcolm. I thought too that as we look at this instance, it's good that the Lord takes notice of faithful service. I think these are all wee things I love. Just the encouragement you get. The Lord, you know, the Lord knew John's heart in the prison. Art thou he that should come? And we've all been there. Just wondering now, have we done the right thing? And at the end of it all, the Lord remembers that if he challenges him about John, he knew that was some man in the estimation of the people. It's good to leave a mark like that. He could have answered, he could have answered the Lord, but he didn't. But he couldn't.
See that the Lord began preaching the gospel in chapter 4, and his last few days on earth he's still preaching the gospel. That was older fellows think that. Mm-hmm. Notice that. He's still preaching the gospel here in verse number 1.
That's good. You don't retire.
I don't know, but at least he went on preaching to the very last man.
Mm-hmm.
He was teaching also, but he was still preaching to the end.
I'd love to hear what he said that day. Really.
That's
right.
That's right. I think where we started was the first day. The cleansing of the temple was the second day, and this, I think, is the third day. That day, I think Mark is, we're indebted to Mark to identify them for us. So I think
we might... the Wednesday then?
Could be the Wednesday, that's right. Yeah. And there's been a lot of controversy over the day. To no profit, I think. You know, I feel that we get bogged down some things in the details, but I think I give in. I think you're right. Anyway, can we go on to deal? I think the final section we might take a wee bit more time on that as things moving on. The parable of the vineyard, a very interesting section as well. When we look at the parable of the vineyard, we've already suggested to you that the vineyard is Israel. We have another parable we might mention too. There was a parable that is not given here, it's only mentioned by Matthew, the parable of the two sons. But we have the parable of the vineyard here, and I think in the parable that Matthew does mention it, it was that their claim was that they were the sons of the kingdom by descent from Abraham. But the parable of the two sons, you know how they refused to go, one refused to go, another eventually went. That is showing that the parable of the two sons, that sonship must be tested by obedience. But here is the ultimate of it all, their response to this blessed man. Now in verse 9, the vineyard was planted. Matthew and Mark add that there was a hedge, a wine press, and a tower. But we suggested that the vineyard was Israel. I think Isaiah 5 and verse 7 is one of the scriptures that would confirm that to us. The vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. I don't think we can disagree that the vineyard is Israel. So here we have the picture. This people have been planted. The word planted is interested. If you plant something, you expect it to grow, and you expect to get fruit from it. That was what God intended among his people. He desired them to be to him a kingdom of priests. And of course they failed in that, but God was not taken at a disadvantage in our day. The saints are a kingdom of priests unto our God. But we do know that God planted this vineyard. Now, I'd like us always to remember and make it clear every time you come to these things that there is a future for Israel. The end of this parable will tell us there is a future for Israel. He'll take it from these husbandmen, he'll give it to others. That is not Gentiles. I believe that there'll be others that will be faithful in his vineyard. I think there's a future application at the end of this parable, that the day will come that that noble vine will bear fruit. I think that's a lovely thought in relation to Israel. The fruit that God expects from him eventually will get, but there's a lot of lovely details here. It's planted and it's let forth to these husbandmen, and he goes into a far country for a long time. Now we can think about that as well. The long time, I would suggest, is just sufficiently long for fruit to be born, a time of testing for the nation, and then so on. For the Lord, what is precious to the Lord that leave it left in charge of? No flaw in what he gave them to say.
Mm-hmm.
temple of the vineyard, this is back to God, not the vineyard of Jesus. This is back to the beginning of the national history. The purpose of God in bringing Israel out of Egypt.
So you're tracing it right back to the birth of them in the land.
I thought that it goes right back so that we have the different servants that the the whole history of Israel and how they should have come.
Right, that is the ministry in Acts, isn't it? Which of the prophets have you not stolen?
When you see the world, the servants and voters, those that you say are taken up as the prophets, in Luke it says that he began to speak to the people with this parable. But Matthew says at the end of the parable that the Pharisees knew that he was speaking about them. So that the main thrust of the parable, I take it, is not so much what he did to the servants, but what he did to the son.
But is he not showing the history of the nation down through all of those years? And now here it is, they are showing further the hatred against God and his purposes in putting the Lord to death.
I think we shouldn't overlook the fact that the vineyard's not just planted, it's planted to bear fruit. And fruit, to my mind, would indicate the joy that God was to have in that which he had planted. Now I take it that Israel, in a very special way, was chosen by God to yield to him the glory and the honor that he desired from humanity. He was only getting it, as it were, from a part of the creation, a part of humanity, and that is the nation of Israel. I thought that the nation of Israel here has rejected the Lord and the Son and refused to give the fruit, and that great fruit that is now being gathered is from Gentiles and not from the nation of Israel, that others are bearing fruit now that God has joy in that it hasn't got from his people.
He thinks that's the future Israel.
I don't.
I would agree with you to this, but I think the vineyard is Israel. I think the husbandmen are those who are responsible, those who hold the position. delay to action in regard to the prophets. And I think here the religious leaders particularly are in vain, and the casting out of the sun finally. And I think that the vineyard is yet going to bear fruit, and that's in the future day. I know this fruit for God from Jacob today, but I don't think that's in the past.
That's the way I would see it. I think there was fruit in a sense, but they would release it. next week will be the end. And that was my guess. I think the testing of the national policy is as you say, there was some suspicion. I think it is said that the Thames went down to thinking of John the Baptist. And the emphasis is really that this is a final opportunity. It's coming now to I will tell my beloved and surely they will let him come. Which I should say, when they see him, now we know what Isaiah said about him. They saw him. They saw no beauty, but they could desire him. And it does say there, when the husbandman saw him. Now there's no doubt that if you look at him, they knew exactly who he was. There were features about him that they could identify him. And can I see that in this picture? I've got 12 on in this past chapter. But as we saw him coming over to all of us and beginning to read, there were features about him and they knew who he was. Hebrews 1 has a means of faith open to us in faith. And I think that's just really a final opportunity for the nation to accept it. I know that these men are going to be able to teach, they may have clear events to go to the heart. We are chosen by recognizing the truth of our own faith.
Thank you.
like in the, if you look at the,
Thank you.
incense again. That is what we should see.